the Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. You see it, we help you do it. AIB, for the life you're after.
Well, although my next guest grew up in the west of Ireland, my first guest has made his mark on the Dublin restaurant scene with the Saba chain of Thai restaurants and to-go takeaways in Dublin and also one outlet in Kildare. His most recent venture, selling a new range of Thai sauces with Dunn Stores, that went on sale earlier this month. Paul Cadden of Saba, you're very welcome to the programme. Paul, I know your brother Alan currently works with you in the business and that your brother Mark also runs a restaurant bar in Castlebar, but I suppose that's hardly surprising. Since you grew up in a family steeped in the hospitality business.
Yeah, so my dad was general manager of Brafey House Hotel in Castlebar. My mum worked in Hotel Westport. They met at a horse show ball one night in Westport. After they got married, they had me, and about 3 years later, they bought the Asgard Tavern on the Quays in Westport. We lived over the restaurant, and over the years, it grew into the building next door and to the building after that, until it was a large restaurant upstairs, fine dining restaurant, and downstairs was busy bar and gastropub at the back.
And you were living practically in the place or above the place or beside it, was it?
Yeah, we lived on the top floor.
About above the shop, you were above the hotel.
Literally. And I've two younger brothers, Mark and Alan. And there was a couple of, there was one in particular where I won't say which brother, but he landed down at the restaurant with a nappy. And that's how close we were to the restaurant. So,
that is close, too close.
Too close. But from an early age, you know, we were in every asset of the business. We were behind the bar, we were in the kitchen helping dad.
How much of a chore was that, Paul, at an early age? I mean, did you actually enjoy it, or was it something that, you know, your parents said, oh, you're going to have to lend a hand here and learn the ropes?
No, we absolutely loved it. It was so much fun. We had live music every night, so we'd be helping the band or whoever was loading in, and that meant we got to go on the drums or whatever. And I suppose that's where you got a passion for the business.
Ironically, yourself and your brothers studied hotel management in Shannon, so there was no question of sort of not going into that industry. And you then went off abroad. You went to work in a 5-star hotel in Switzerland.
Yeah, so part of Shannon training, in your second year, you go on the stage to Switzerland or France. And I was lucky enough to go to the Victoria Jungfrau Hotel in Interlaken in Switzerland. And it's a 5-star hotel. And it was an amazing experience. You're learning from the best of the best. Be a garden service, you know, where you're carving chateaubriands at the table or taking, you know, Dover sole of the bone into the kitchen, which Herr Stocker was the chef there. And even when you start your breakfast shift, when you're working the kitchen at 6:30, he was there before you.
Was this the kind of place you'd end up lighting guests' cigars for them or not?
That is correct. Yeah, part of that it would be lighting cigars with the humidor at the table, the cheese trolleys and singing waiters and everything else.
From there, you went to London and you were in your early 20s and you were working in different jobs and different hotels, different places. Was it a fairly sort of a fun-filled time, or was it all about work?
It was a group of us moving to London, and we started off on, you know, $7,500 a year, and you didn't have, you know, a shilling. So you'd be putting everything into the pot for the weekend. Who's got what? Where are we going? And we'd walk everywhere with a football or a rugby ball on the weekends. And the guys I was with in London are my closest friends.
And this was in the 1990s, and you went to the very well-known Forte Hotel Group, owned by Rocco Forte and his family. And while you were there, there was a hostile takeover bid by the Granada Group, a very famous one, because it was led by Gerry Robinson, who is originally from Donegal. And things got fairly corporately heated in the takeover, and it was the subject of a documentary. What was it like kind of being in the Forte Group at that time?
I'd moved from the Kensington Close Hotel, which is a 530-bedroom hotel, to the Forte Crest at Heathrow, which is a 600-bedroom hotel. And I had just started as deputy financial controller, no accounting experience, but my parents said, this is the thing to do. You're going to learn loads. And I was put on a programme to study CIMA, Chartered Institute of Management Accounting. So I was in the accounts, part of the senior team of this big hotel. And we were at the time going to move it to Meridian, which was a 5-star property. And then on a Monday morning, news broke that there was a hostile takeover from Granada Group. It was incredible to be there, all plans changing, you know, 5-year plans changing, squeezing as much profit out of the group, looking at balance sheets.
Because at the end, when Rocco Forte lost control of the family business, he characterised it as a traditional hotel family running a business versus a cost-cutting, management-led, financially-led takeover. Is that how you saw it? Did you have any contact with Jerry Robinson? And how did you find him?
To be honest, when the takeover happened, nothing changed immediately anyway. I remember Jerry Robinson coming to the hotel to meet all the staff. Everybody was like, you know, the Queen arriving. I met him and he said, I believe you're from the West of Ireland. And I said, I am. And I said, I believe you're doing CIMA. And he said, I did CIMA myself, which is Chartered Institute of Management Accounting. And he said, I wish you well with it and I'll see you along
the road
sometime.
I'm definitely getting to keep my job anyway. I'm off to a good start.
Yeah, he was a very impressive character. The documentary, I think, at the time was Blood on the Boardroom Floor, something like that. But it was like it made headlines internationally.
Yeah, academics have written articles about it as a sort of test case, hostile takeover. But in the late 90s, it was in around 1998, you made a decision about coming home. It was after spending a weekend in Ireland.
Yeah, I was. I remember coming home to the West, flying to Knock and meeting my brothers and mum and dad and going down to Achill for the day, just for a drive. I was flying back that night. I was home for a few days. One of us said, let's go surfing. We can't surf, but we said we'd hire surfboards and suits. Went out, beautiful weather, came back to Knock and flew into Heathrow and the heat of the city. I was like, okay, that's it. I need to get back to Ireland. I think about a week or two later, I handed in my notice and I was fortunate enough to get a job with the Jury's Doyle Group in Bowles Bridge.
In around that time, you were still in your late 20s when you were hit with an illness, and it was something unusual because it's not a very common thing, but it came on you very suddenly, Paul. What happened?
Yeah, that was 2005. I was away on holidays, actually skiing, and I had a chest infection for a couple of weeks. But anyway, I could not ski, and I can ski, and I kept falling over, and I returned home straight to a wedding in Westport, my cousin's wedding. And the following day when I got up, I just had no strength. And I remember sitting across the kitchen table and, you know, big fry up. All the family had been at the wedding the previous night. The big fry up comes out and I was struggling to cut a sausage. And my brother said to me, you can't cut that sausage. And I said, no, I'm fine. I'm just not feeling great. And he said, you can't cut that sausage. So anyway, into the doctor on call. And I was very fortunate. It was Ollie White who saw me. It was a Sunday afternoon. He sat me up on the table and did all the reflexes, etc. And he said, you're paralysed from the elbows and knees down. And he said, you're going to have to get to a consultant neurologist urgently. I think you may have Guillain-Barré syndrome. Like, this was double Dutch to me. It was
you never heard of it.
Never heard of it. Coincidentally, his brother-in-law had it in the 70s. What is a very rare disease or syndrome. I was so lucky that it was him that diagnosed me. So I went to Dublin on the train that night, got to the matter, and by that stage I was kind of being wheeled in a wheelchair. Over then the following few days, it continued to get worse. However, having said that, I was very fortunate. It's a creeping paralysis that starts in the fingertips and the toes and it keeps going. It's your immune system attacks itself.
And pretty scary, terrifying, I'd say, to experience that for the first time.
Of course, you know, when you're told, you know, you're going to be out for work for a minimum a year and a language therapist is going to teach you how to use your eyes to communicate, etc. Now, I never got that far, thankfully. It stopped in my shoulders. It didn't go near my lungs. So as a result, I had a much quicker recovery.
And you've made a full recovery, Paul.
Absolutely, you know, full symptoms. Recovery. Yeah, I've gone on doing half marathons and loads.
That's
of...
That's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were involved in helping to set up what became a very well-known restaurant in Dublin, Dieppe Shaker. And after that, you decided to set up your own business, essentially Saba, in 2006. How did that come about, and why a Thai restaurant?
Yeah, I suppose my time in Dieppe, I learned a lot about Thai food, and then I travelled a lot in Thailand and Vietnam, and I just loved the cuisine. And at the time, you know, I travelled New York as well, looking at restaurants, and I just thought there was an opening for Saba.
What does Saba mean, by the way?
Saba means happy meeting place.
Perfect.
And I was very fortunate to have a team of Tawisak Trakalwatna, chef who had worked with previously.
And Tao is someone that you had known. And when you were setting up Saba, he was back in Thailand, and you went to meet him to try and just get some help, get some guidance from him about it.
Yeah, it was...
And he delivered a load of your staff.
He did. When we'd signed the lease in Clarendon Street, Dad and myself, we flew to Bangkok looking at crockery, find suppliers for rice, coconut milk, and talked to Tao about, see, could he pull a team together for us? Because I knew he was joining a five-star hotel in the coming weeks. So I met him that morning, and anyway, he said we'd meet for dinner that night, and it was on the Chao Phraya River, which flows through Bangkok. We're in this cafe, Dad and myself having a beer, and Tao walked in with six of the chefs behind him. That was a great vote of confidence. They all said they were going to come back to Dublin.
It saved you a lot of hassle, a lot of sort of seeking out and trying to find people that would be suitable and that you would trust, whereas he was able to find them. You knew he was going to make the right choice.
Yeah, and I'd worked with some of them before, and believe it or not, some of them are still with me. The team in Saba have been absolutely incredible. We've, you know, six restaurants now, or three restaurants and three takeaways, 185 staff.
A lot of businesses will say that they like to have a good team and a team that looks out for one another and a good atmosphere and culture among staff. Am I right in saying, in your case, somebody actually donated a kidney to another staff member?
Yeah, hard to believe.
That's setting the bar pretty high.
Eddie, one of our chefs since day one, he was there on the Chao Phraya riverbanks, and he had kidney failure, and Sek, a colleague of his who's a head chef for the Savage Grow Takeaways, offered him his kidney, and he was a match. And what a selfless act, you know, giving the gift of life to your colleague. Absolutely incredible. And they're both doing really well.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I can just imagine people listening and thinking, you know, they're going to have an away day for team building, and the first question will be, would any of you be willing to donate a kidney to someone else? Show of hands, please. But given the nature of the restaurant business you have and the connections with Thailand. Thailand, it's a kind of an interesting place to go and to do business. I mean, you would have even sourced things like fixtures and door handles and everything over there.
That's right. We got loads of different, you know, artifacts, etc. But when we're over there, we had the Saba logo at the time. And this was originally when I went over to Tao first, and he said, I know a lady who can make door handles. And I was like, I couldn't get my head around this. So we brought the logo to her, and she got them cast. This old lady in Chakachat Market in Bangkok. And it's a massive market. And she was down a corner with burners going and brass and clang. It was like blacksmiths. And anyway, when she gave me the bill, she made these beautiful handles, which are, you know, we recast them, and they're on all the doors as you go into Saba. The originals are on South William Street. And I saw the invoice, and I said, Billionaire Limited. And she said, yeah, someday I'd be billionaire. And
she was thinking she
is. She was an amazing character. And yeah, it was fantastic.
You have the Saba restaurants, some of them in the city centre, and your wife, Sarah, has a jewellery business just off Grafton Street, sort of round the corner, really.
Sarah, yeah, Gray's Jewellers just off Grafton Street. Her dad set it up 30 years ago. We come home in the evening and discuss the day-to-day challenges or the funny things that happened. And we have three kids, George, Carrie and Sadie. 10, 9 and 7 and they're sitting at the table taking it all in, and they love coming into the shop with Sarah on weekends, and they love coming into the restaurant. It's a bit of, you know, history repeating itself in all the good ways.
Paul Cadden, owner of Saba Restaurants and Saba To Go, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
Thank you very much.